One of the ones that I wanted to talk about today was the state's abuse of children using the legal justice system as cover. You will, of course, know about the Victorian government's adult time for violent crime. VACCO, the Victorian Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation, is deeply disappointed and angered by the Victorian government's latest adult time for violent crime announcement. The new policy would allow children as young as 14 to be treated as adults in the court system, continuing a worrying trend from the Victorian government, which has moved away from its previous commitment to raise the age of criminal responsibility. Aboriginal children in Victoria are already disproportionately represented in the youth justice system, and VACCO has consistently maintained that keeping children in contact with the criminal justice system only deepens intergenerational trauma and disadvantage. The government's announcement, Labor government's announcement, comes despite years of expert advice, international human rights standards and clear evidence from the community that early intervention works.
And that's with the CLP party as well in Darwin, which is, we're talking about the Gough Whitlam dismissal. What Gough Whitlam found through his reforms was that the federal government, because of the structure of Australia through the years, only has the ability to action immediate change in the territories that it directly administers, so the ACT and the Northern Territory. So there's a Labor, there's a state Labor government here that is willing to put 14-year-olds in prison, and there's a federal Labor government that's happy to see a country Liberal Party put 10-year-olds in prison in the Northern Territory.
Well, if we go up that part of the country, the Queensland Youth Detention Report confirms what Sisters Inside has said for decades: our children are being tortured. The Sisters Inside condemns the torture and human rights violations revealed in the 2025 Youth Detention Centre Inspection Report released by the Queensland Ombudsman, which confirms what they have been saying for decades. Children in Queensland's youth prisons are being abused, isolated and harmed by the state. The report details children being held in solitary confinement for extended periods, a practice the department continues to sanitise by calling it separation. This linguistic gymnastics fools no one. Solidarity confinement by any name is solitary confinement, said Debbie Kilroy, CEO of Sisters Inside. The report also documents partially clothed searches, in inverted commas, another euphemism designed to obscure the truth. Sisters Inside calls these practices what they are, state-sanctioned strip searches and sexual assaults of children, said Debbie Kilroy. For decades, Sisters Inside has warned governments that children's prisons are inherently violent institutions where abuse is not an aberration. It is the everyday operating environment. This report confirms exactly that. There was a very, very disturbing thing that happened that underlines the racist policies within the framework of the justice system in relation to children. You might have caught up with it. It was Lydia Thorpe sent out a release about it. Come Point apprehension of Aboriginal boy shows institutional police racism, she says. The incident happened last week in which a young Aboriginal boy was wrongfully apprehended at gunpoint by ACT police officers, pinned face down on the ground and held with knees on his back, causing him pain and difficulty breathing. And this was from a bus. He was on a bus, right? Can you imagine? Now, just imagine yourself being on that bus, right?
And if anything that we say is obviously triggering to you, you can call 13YARN, 139276 if you're mob, or if not, you can also call Lifeline 131114.
She says, my heart goes out to this family. I feel your pain. And to the young fella, know that you are loved. You did nothing wrong and our community stands with you. We will not let this be swept aside. Hearing about this made me feel sick. I think about my nephews. I think about all the black boys and young people in my life. Our people cannot feel safe when police see our children as threats before they see them as kids. Pretty poor stuff, eh?
Well, when we're going pretty much all the way across the country, and we have even friend of the show, Jerry Georgiados, is about to release a book on Cleveland Dodd, who people will remember was the 16-year-old Yamaji boy that died in the custody of the WA Corrective Services as it was detaining him in an adult prison. This is all about the institutionalization of these structures that, one, say that they're going to rehabilitate people but are actually just holding pens. Cleveland was found unresponsive in his cell early morning on the 12th of October 2023. The child's cell was located in Unit 18, a wing of the maximum security adult Casuarina prison. So this is an institutional problem at every level of government, and something that people need to be not only aware of, but actively fighting against.
Well, if we go back to the Queensland report from the Ombudsman and what the sisters inside are asking for, this is what they believe. The Ombudsman's findings mirror what criminalised children and their families have been telling sisters inside for years. Children held in isolation in filthy bare rooms without toilets. Children subjected to dangerous restraint practices. Children denied education, culture, connection and care. Children left without meaningful human contact. Children disproportionately Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander. This is not youth justice. This is cruelty masquerading as governance, and you cannot reform torture, says Debbie Gilroy. They demand that they should stop these practices in order to turn the situation around in solitary confinement, what's called administrative separation immediately, ban all strip searches, including so-called, in inverted commas, partially closed searches, remove harmful restraint practices and hold staff accountable, mandate transparent public reporting of all restrictive practices, embed Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander governance across all decision-making, and above all, commit to closing children's prisons for good. There is no humane way to run a children's prison. Torture cannot be regulated. It must be abolished, they say.
Absolutely right. And, I mean, on the other end of world news, the Iranian oil workers launched a historic strike this week. From the desk of Dropsite News, 15,000 workers went on strike at a major gas field in Iran last week, demanding improved wages and working conditions at the economically critical South Pars field. Earlier this month, the Association of Gas Industry Workers, a union of Bushehr Province, the largest labour organisation representing the workers of Iran's gas refineries, announced a weekly work stoppage over long-standing grievances. Now, the incredible thing, or perhaps not incredible, but just in the context of Australian unionism, the incredible thing was that, yes, they are workers that have long supported capital and been exploited for it, but they're also rallying around. They made an explicit call that they're rallying around the people of Yemen, the people of Palestine, the people of Lebanon as well, not only because it is of a faith, but because it's a moral duty. And the spokesperson Megafri was saying, because it is also, we want to understand that we want people to understand that our interests are intertwined.
That's fascinating, isn't it? Because just as an aside, the US have launched a series of airstrikes in Somalia, which it means that they can't be more right in the sense that everybody, all workers, are fair game against this armed capitalist madness that's going on at the moment in this world. On a more local level, for in Union News, the Financial Services Union has commenced a Fair Work dispute against the ANZ Bank over the significant workplace health and safety concerns that it says has stemmed from the ANZ's massive redundancy plans. The bank aims to slash the jobs of 3,500 employees and 1,000 contractors by September 2026, with most of the 3,500 employee positions projected to go by the end of March. That's after Christmas present. The bank's poor handling and communication of the process has led to workers reportedly experiencing psychosomatic symptoms such as stomach pains, headaches and muscle tensions, with employees reporting anxiety that is spreading negatively into their family life. Surprise, surprise. This is at the same time, it might be added, that despite redundancies, related costs and a $240 million ATSIC fine for, inverted commas, widespread misconduct related to incorrectly reporting bond trading data to the government, ignoring hundreds of customers' hardship notices and failing to refund fees charged to thousands of dead customers, and ANZAC's full-year profits still reach $5.7 billion. An ANZ spokesperson said the redundancies were part of a number of changes as it focuses on its refreshed ANZ 2030 strategy.
Absolutely appalling. And the
I mean, if it wasn't so terrible, it would be.
I know, it's absolutely satirical, yeah. I'll just do the quick report because the drop site collected a bunch of information this week about the genocide, the ongoing genocide in Gaza. A series of Israeli attacks on Gaza City and Khan Yunis on Wednesday killed at least 33 Palestinians, including 12 children and 8 women, and injured 88, Al Jazeera reported. A family of 5 was killed when a strike hit a residential building in Gaza City's Zaytun neighborhood, while other attacks in the city left more than 10 people dead, according to Gaza Civil Defense. Israel pushed westward into eastern Gaza City on Thursday, advancing tanks and moving the yellow concrete barriers that marked the ceasefire withdrawal line, roughly 300 meters into Al-Tufa and Al-Shujaiya neighborhoods, after strikes a day earlier killed dozens of Palestinians. Then in the UN, Special Rapporteur Francesca Albanese in a statement said that the Security Council's recent ceasefire solution, quote, runs counter to the Palestinian right to self-determination, end quote, arguing it cements external control over Gaza's government, governance, borders, security and reconstruction, while ignoring Israel's, quote, ongoing unlawful siege, occupation, racial segregation, and apartheid, end quote. She said that the U.S.-chaired Board of Peace would impose American and Israeli prerogatives and leave Palestinians under, quote, a puppet administration, end quote, insisting any international presence must ensure Israel's withdrawal from the Strip, protect civilians and support the right of Palestinians to determine their own political future.
And before we go on to Voices for Palestine, I recommend a film, Put Your Soul on Your Hand and Walk. It's now showing at Nova. It's a film that's been put together by Iranian director Sifateh Farsi. It's based around her year-long conversations over mobile phone. It's an extraordinary film. It's a conversation with Fatma Hossani, a young photojournalist and poet who... and they speak to each other over a year, and this is what the film chronicles, until the death of Fatma by, and her 6 members of her family as they slept, by the Israelis. It's the most extraordinary film because, one, we see this person, a real Gazan, as she communicates to the world, and we see her family members. And it's important for people to remember that these are real people. And what Israel is doing is unconscionable. It could be you.